Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXRadio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to your Wellness Radio. Let's Talk About It with Scott and Maria. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Beamwood. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And you can also listen to us now on podcast, KXRadio.com. Click on podcast.
Our guest today is Albert Elgin. He is a mental health worker too. And he works for the official resource center, right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what you call. Give us an overview. What is the resource center? Where is it? Just a real quick one. We'll dive into stuff later.
Okay, the resource center. It used to be called the recovery center. We used to do everything on. Recovery. And now it's not only recovery, but trying to get the people well enough to get back into the community and try to get a job, because everybody needs a little extra money every once in a while.
So resource sounds like it then. It means not only just kind of getting stable, but getting better and having a life of your own.
Yeah. It's like having the opportunity to start over, from a new beginning. We want to go to college. We have the services that we can go to college, and we'll pay for tuition, books, whatever you need.
And is this for the general public, or?
No, it's for behavioral health clients.
Okay. We need to be clear.
We do have a GED class. And an
OED
class.
Oh, really? GED class. And what other services does the Research Center offer?
Well, what we offer is we take them to one stop, the ones that want to get their typing, learn how to type, learn different trades. Just yesterday, IEROP came in. We're hooked up with them to where we can start getting the clients that want to work, the training they need.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be working with the Department of Rehab. And we also have two groups there for the, we still hold behavioral health groups there. Mm-hmm. One at 11 and one. And
so you have vocational, educational services. You have Department of Rehab going there. You have IBLP. You have GED classes. And these are for clients who are behavioral health clients, correct? Consumers.
Yeah.
And their ages, the ages for the consumers are 16 and up.
Yeah.
Okay. So also for the youth, for the what's called the transitional age youth group. So
yeah, but I think it's like a GED, so we'd have to probably hold them at a different time for the younger ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these services are for 16 and over.
So out of all the stuff you get going on, what's the latest and the greatest? What's the kind of coolest stuff you got going on right now?
The stuff we got going on right now is mainly we just going to one stop. Where the clients really like it. Every time they learn how to type, and they get some more words, they get a certificate, which we put in the RAP plan, which is a wellness recovery action plan. It gives us all the information on them, like what meds they take, who's their doctor, who to contact in case of an emergency, and all their progress notes in the RAP plan.
So the keyboarding thing, and we used to think maybe the keyboarding was only for people trained to be like a secretary or something. Well, those days have changed because with computers now, keyboarding is just a part of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
Why is this research center so important? What's the benefit for the the community.
Being able to come and socialize, born, being able to get training in case they do want to go to work. Some people do. Some people aren't at that stage yet, but some of them are. And the ones that are going to have the opportunity to get their training. We also have a clothing class there. It's run by Maria Duarte.
Mm-hmm.
Where some of the ladies go in there and are making quilts.
I see the difference, but give us just a little bit of a picture. What kind of clients is it that they're going to behavioral health? Why are they going to the research center? Why? I'm trying to get an overview of a picture of the people that are going there.
The people that are going there? Okay. We have people with schizophrenia. We have people with depression, anxieties, and when it comes to the resource center, it's like they're not alone. Everybody has some kind of a mental condition, and they realize that they're not alone in the world, and they learn how to care for each other. When one person has an episode, the others care for them. It's like they watch each other, watch over each other. And it's like a family. They're like brothers and sisters all of them. And it's really comfortable when they come there. They don't push themselves on each other, though, you know. They get say good morning, and they do their thing during the day. We had, like I say, we have two recovery groups, one at 11, one at 1. Myself or David Gibbs holds the 11. Leti Amador holds the group at 1. And they're pretty interesting groups. So if any of the clients out there from Behavior Health want to get a referral, because you got to be referred, go to the doctor and get a referral. It doesn't have to be from Behavior Health. It can be from a private psychiatrist. So we have to get a referral.
Okay, so this is what I talked about. We're going to deal with Howard Elson. We're continuing to perform. I'm just reaching out. And of course, I want to get Howard Carter and any questions for Howard about the resource center. Now, let's kind of go back in the way back machine. Even a part of the resource center for all of its various meanings, how did this thing start out and how long ago?
Well, it started 8 years ago. When I first started, I was at New Beginnings. And where the resource center is with day treatment. Well, they've done away with day treatment and New Beginnings, and they merged them together to become the recovery center.
Now it's the resource center.
Now it's the resource center.
Now, when you started out at New Beginnings and at day treatment, you started out as
a mental health worker?
No, volunteer.
A volunteer?
Yeah.
Why did you go and say to volunteer? Because there are a lot of people when they choose to go to volunteer or start. Yeah. It's
the
decision because it's unpaid.
Yeah.
Unpaid work.
The pain of it, I was isolating myself at home. Mm-hmm. So when I went to day treatment, I decided I wanted something more. And when I graduated from day treatment, I'd go home and go back to my room. So.
But what do you mean you were isolating yourself? But you were.
Oh, I locked myself in my room. Not talking to anybody.
So you were having a lot of the same problems that get people in this program around today.
Yeah. And it went on for about a year. Finally, my wife told me you either get help or we're finished. She gave me the alternative of either getting help or getting out, so I decided to get help. And I went to behavioral health. And
at that point, before you went to behavioral health, did you know what was going on? Did your problem have a name?
No. I didn't realize what was going on. So.
But your family did.
Well, they realized that something was wrong now. Because I wasn't talking to them, locking myself in the door, you know.
Did you realize something was wrong?
I did, but I didn't know what. Very confused at the time.
Hmm.
I was just got off alcohol. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Been clean for 16 years now. But at the time, it was very hard. you know, because when you quit drinking, you sometimes fall into a deep depression. You don't realize it. Mm. And that's what happened to me.
Do you think you had the depression before you started drinking, or and did you use alcohol to cope with your depression, or why did you start drinking in the first place?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. I didn't realize if I was depressed or not. Mm-hmm. So, the drinking, I just go out with a friend and drink.
And drink.
Until I couldn't drink anymore, and then I'd wake up and drink again. But it all ended one day. I use this as an example. Mm-hmm. I got arrested for domestic violence. And since that day, I have not drank a drop.
So you went cold turkey.
I went cold turkey.
How hard was that?
Pretty hard. For 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, it was easy.
And you did it at home, or?
No, I left the valley. I went to my mother's. You know, and stayed up there for about a month, and then came back. Me and my wife got back together, and just last month, we had our 34th anniversary.
Congratulations.
How long after you got through this drinking? It sounds like you drank for a while.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. After you got through this self-recovery, how long did it take before this depression started kicking in?
Probably right away, just didn't realize it. Mm-hmm. And it got worse. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to get help. You know, finally my wife, when she forced my hand, I went to behavior house. And that's where my recovery started. The day that I went to behavior health is the day my recovery started.
Nice. Were you surprised? Any more from what they told you and what was going on?
Kind of. But I knew there was something wrong. And I tell this to a lot of people that when you go in for your assessment, I don't know things that are bothering you. Mm-hmm. Can I cry? Cry. It's okay. And I cried for 2 hours that day, you know, getting everything out. It relieved the pressure. Mm-hmm. You know.
So right after that first time talking to somebody, you felt a little bit better.
Wasn't over yet. No. I started feeling a lot better when I went to day treatment. You gotta talk about what's bothering you. If you hold it in, it's just gonna fester and get bigger and bigger.
So when you came to behavior health and you started talking, was it just therapy that you got, or did you get something else like medication?
I got medication. I still take medication today. I still see a psychiatrist today. Matter of fact, my appointment was yesterday. Now I'm not I tell the clients. The new client is coming in. I'm a client just like you are. It's just that I'm stable and I got hired.
And you get paid. No more hours here.
And they get excited about that because you know what can happen to them. You know.
That's true.
So just to keep taking your medication and working on your goals every day. My goal is to keep working as long as I can.
So you bring a different perspective into the recovery, the resource center. I still continue to say the recovery center.
The resource center.
So you bring out a different person. You don't come in as, clients don't see you as, you know, they see you as an employee of the behavior health, but also they see you as like one of them.
Yeah. And,
because they can, you know, I can come to them as a case manager, being a mental health rehab tech, and it's a bit, well, what do you know? You know, doctor, what I've gone, you know, what, how can you help me? All you know is book knowledge.
So that's like when the recovery center first started, they heard all clients that worked there, except for one mental health worker, three, which is Betty Washington. Everybody else that was working there was a client. So they hired four of us. They were going to hire five, but only four of us went to work. And it ran good. It ran good for for a long time, and it showed it's any better today than it has before. So we have a fairly new supervisor. His name is Danny Sanchez. He brought a...
But he's not new to the Beaver House. He's been around for a while.
But he brings a lot of fun to the Resource Center. The clients love him to death. He helps them, you know. And if they want something, he tries to get it, if he can. Most of the time he does. And he has, a lot of resources.
Mm-hmm.
And
what kind of things do they want?
They want to have trips, for one. They'd like to be able to go to the beach again. We haven't been to the beach in quite a while. We used to go at least once a year. And most of the trips, we don't go on trips anymore. And they'd like to be able to go on a trip. Well, what they're going to do is collect money for themselves.
Raise money. Fundraisers.
Yard sales. Mainly yard sales. They do yard sales there once a month or once twice a month to try to earn money to go toward things that they want. They need. So. And we have a little store there that generates money.
Yeah. Most of these people don't have a lot of money, though. I mean,
no. We give them megabucks for everything they do outside the center, like One Stop, GED. Any of that, they get a megabit. They can spend those megabits in the store for a snack.
Hmm. Does that encourage participation
though? Oh, they go to work for those. They have homework for them every day in the morning.
What kind of homework?
I'll hand them little cards that have state on them, and I'll go and do a report on that state. Mm-hmm. They love it.
No, it's one of the things I think maybe we might take for granted is that the whole kind of engagement with the world, you know, the whole kind of learning and being curious about something and looking it up and learning about it, that stuff kind of falls off when you're really suffering from mental health disorder.
Yeah. I didn't know China had 20% of the total world population in China is until the other day. When we had them do a...
You sent them over to count?
I did it on the computer. That's one thing, we have a computer there, and they all take turns on it. We only have one. When we get moved to the new building, we're going to have 10 computers there that they can work on. So.
And I think they can learn, again, like typing and their keyboarding. It's not called typing anymore. Keyboarding, surfing the web, going into Twitter, not just
blogging. We also encourage them to go to computer classes at IBC at mm-hmm. Turtle Campus.
But it's a resource for them because they want to learn more about their mental illness.
Yeah.
What a great way, use your internet.
The more they use their brain, the more their neurons are clicking better, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, some of them have symptoms abused, and then their chemical imbalance.
Is there a high rate of substance abuse?
Yeah. We have an alcohol and drug group here from the alcohol and drug program. By about 10 or 15 people. So we average about 30, 35, sometimes 40 a day there. It's grown a lot. Alcohol and drug have two groups there, one at 9 to 10:30 and one from 10:30 to 12. The one at 9 to 10:30 is English, the one from 10:30 to 12 is Spanish.
Oh, okay. So it's trying to according to their language.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the behavioral health groups, student mental health groups?
When we get a topic, it's usually in English and Spanish.
Okay.
So we have that.
And you could be English, right?
Yes. So sometimes we ask the class to hold their own group. And we sit and observe. It gives them a sense of doing something. We'll ask the client, well, you want a whole group today? And they'll say yes, we're going to hold the group. It gives them the encouragement that they can you know, help. And we have clients here that want to volunteer, but they don't know what to do. So we kind of encourage them sometimes to hold a group, and it shows them that they can do it.
As a I guess former and current client, and as an employee, and as somebody who's worked in and been around all of the various parts of the resource center at the Provocation Museums, what's your thought on the way it's going? I mean, is this kind of, do you see it growing the way that you would hope it would grow as a client? Do you see it, do something's getting patient? But how do you sense this development?
I see it as growing to be a very good opportunity for the clients. I didn't have the opportunity for resource center or whatever I would first started out, and to have this to help them enhance their abilities and to learn, get their knowledge of computers and stuff, learning how to cope with everything life, and some of them come there. They have a lot of problems outside the center. So when they come there, they can let them go. They don't have to worry about those because, you know, if they have a problem, then they got counselors they can talk to there.
They can talk to you.
Yeah. Talk to me. There's three of us that they can talk to. Three counselors. We're going to have a case manager stationed, I think, there for... She's going to be working with IGRLP, directing people where to go.
Okay, and all we can do is pop the arms, take a short break, just let's talk about your voice alone in Imperial Valley. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about where the recovery center is going and what kind of supports are going to be available as we continue to grow and develop over here at Behavioral Health. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service, Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXLRadio.com.
Welcome back. You're still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and the Study Valley. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Beamer. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874. And let's not forget to mention it. You can access us at any time on the internet at www.kxlradio.com and click on the podcast. Let's talk about it, and you can listen to this radio show or to previous ones.
Yeah, click on those buttons because it's getting really crowded trying to hold all of us in there inside those little buttons. So
and another thing, we have an ad on the internet on IB Press Online too. We have our Let's Talk About It and Express Update show, so.
For those of you who've been along for the ride, we've been doing this for 5 years, so for those of you who've been along for the ride and dropped in once in a while and been listening, we appreciate that. And
we started strong with paper ads and then billboards. We had billboards and then it's just the funding went away.
That's a little
funny.
But we're going to put some good information out in the community and encourage you to stay in touch with us and give us feedback about what things are important to you, and we will be your voice for wellness in all of the valleys, everywhere. Sunny, sunny, the wind's blowing right away.
Yeah.
So welcome back. Our guest today is Albert Elgin. He's a mental health worker for the Resource Center, the artist formerly known as the Recovery Center, formerly known as the Dragon Center. Is that it, though? That's as far back as we go.
Yeah, this is as far back as we go.
So it was always about coming, it started out being about coming and having a safe place, a place where you could be with peers and get some social needs met and also have some safety and also begin to understand that you weren't alone in the world, that many people faced similar types of challenges. And from looking at people like you, they're capable of meeting those challenges and getting a rewarding life and having a job and maybe things that seem out of reach when you're really in the middle of some sort of mental health problem.
Yeah, some people think if you go to work, you're going to lose your benefits. And that's not true. You can make so much a month and keep all your benefits.
Hey, and those benefits are really huge. Well, I guess we've got people living in mansions on those benefits, right?
Yeah.
Eating primarily, right?
How much is the most that one can get?
Red Beat Month, right?
Yeah.
And Top One, right?
Yeah.
Where it runs from like 1,000, right?
But you can work as you
clean the studio for what? 600.
Yeah, right.
You can make, I think, it's 800 a month. And still keep all your
benefits. Yeah, that would be my point. My point would be, you know, just kind of looking at the financial end of it. Being on disability, getting disability benefits from the state of California is like a death sentence of poverty or something. I mean, you're really going to be broke. So, giving up my benefits.
Wow. Yeah, back when I was on Social Security, it was never enough.
Yeah.
So,
how could it be?
So, I was glad when they offered me this job, I got that. Because I knew I could go up.
Now, besides the financial end of it, which, you know, much better getting that extra money, how do you feel in terms of working? Is that something that makes a difference in your recovery?
Yes, I have a routine every day. And that's the number one thing about recovery is to get a routine going. Mm-hmm. Get up every morning at the same time, you know, get to work. I mean, go with the client, see how they're doing.
Tune their radio 88.7, listen to what's
talking. They're probably listening to it right now. They know I'm going to be on the radio today, so they're probably listening to it.
You should give us a call.
337-8743-9.
So, but that's part of recovery is getting a routine.
Getting a routine, but it's a routine that builds you up.
Yeah.
That makes you stronger.
And for me, working at the resource center has made me stronger over the years. And the clients that come here, it makes them stronger because they know that they can come in there and enhance their abilities, see their peers, their friends, communicate. Because a lot of them come in there, they just sit there and they're silent.
Yeah.
But after they're there a while, they start talking. And that's what we try to be able to do is open up.
Well, you've got people like you giving back. And even people like the other clients who've been there a while, giving back and helping these new clients to kind of get comfortable, get grounded.
What would you say, you were formerly a client and now you're an employee for Paper Health, but for the people out there listening to this radio show and for the community, what would you like to have, staff at the resource center, what would you want the community to know about the clients that are going to the resource center? The reason why I'm asking this is because when I was young and before I started working at Behavior Health, and I'll be 40 next year. But I had my bachelor's degree and I was out of college, and it's the old, people supposedly, they get a bachelor's degree, they're educated, they're supposed to be educated, but I was not. I would drive by 8th Street, and say, that's where, I would say, that's not appropriate, that's where the crazy people go. And that's not the case. And I think that's what we're trying to do with this radio show is that the clients that they ever have an illness that can be treated,
they're like everybody else. Mm-hmm. They just maybe had a trauma in their life, had depression set in, which financial problems can cause depression really bad. It can cause a lot of things in the family.
There are a bunch of people not in their heads right now.
Yeah.
So we never know what their issues are, but it doesn't matter regardless if their issues are financial or substance abuse. They come there for help, and they get their help. A lot of times, just talking to somebody. They don't have anybody to talk to. Maybe just talking to somebody eases their mind. But nobody's there. It's a danger to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
They're all just like normal people.
Trying to get by.
Everybody that's out there that says, like you say, people are crazy, no. They're just trying to survive, just like everybody else. It's just sometimes they're having a harder time. And to stigmatize somebody, mm-hmm. it is, you should, before you say anything, you should walk in their shoes.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I think, like, when it's started with this radio show, I think that's what we're trying to do is decrease the stigmatism.
You know, I never...
What did you think, I mean, before that? I mean, did you know about your... Well, back then it was called mental health.
Yeah.
What was your feeling about it? What was...
Didn't think about much. I didn't. But the more that I met the people, the more I understood what they were going through.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was going through the same thing a lot of them were going through. So, just to witness some of the people that have grown so much over the years, working at the resource center has opened my eyes so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Going through the things that I went through and watching other people, I can maybe, like I tell everybody, I remember something every day. My recovery is still ongoing. It'll probably be forever. Okay? But it's not going to stop me.
So every day you go to work, you come home at the end of the day, and you know something more about being human.
Okay. I know something more about my illness that I have.
Or your wellness, I suppose.
Or my wellness. So, the more I learn about me, the better off I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I tell everybody. If you have a test, go on the internet and look up your mental condition. Find it, teach your family about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's part of it, the family, too.
The family is a big support. If you have your family, you got your support system right there.
Well, and something you said really, really struck me, and that is, the more I learn about me, the better off I am, I guess, in this life would be to kind of summarize that. You know, why would that be different for somebody or anybody? Why, you know, who's the person that would be good for?
Yeah, well, that would be good for everybody to learn about themselves.
Sure.
Because if you don't love yourself, who are you going to love?
Well, and we're always trying to get by, and it's always about getting by in ways that are better, more fulfilling. More meaningful, perhaps.
That's what we inspire our clients to do. Love yourself. Love yourself. Take care of you. And we always mention take your medication every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one thing about taking care of yourself.
Yeah, and act of self-love then for people who need it, like level support.
Yeah.
So if you love yourself, you're going to take your cluster. Oh, sorry.
If you love yourself, you take your medication every day. Because if you don't, a lot of people think you take your medication and after a while you feel good, and you quit taking it.
And that happens often, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then you decompensate. You start feeling the effects of the mental condition again. And then you got to start all over.
With healthy, I mean, it's not like you're starting right flat, you're starting...
Don't take a pill for about 3 weeks to 4 weeks, and then you start feeling better again. As long as you keep taking your medication, you'll keep feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You say you were taking medication right now?
Yeah, I'm taking medication.
And you're going to be taking medication?
Probably for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If I don't take it, I feel the effects. So, mm-hmm. The complications, right? I'll always make sure I have enough.
But it's not a burden or penalty to take medication. Life management.
I take more medication now than I have before. Blood pressure, diabetes, you know, cholesterol. So.
Big day to have insurance.
Yes, sir.
We have Robert Ellison. He's a mental health worker, too, at the Resource Center for the Behavioral Health Program, a place where people go to get their lives back and to go get their lives back together in terms of jobs, housing, socialization, friendships, any part of being human that you can think of, they've got something there for you.
Yeah. Just come in. I can get referrals, and I give them a call,
they come in.
Referrals have come from the mental health system or county mental health system.
Well, not just the county, from a private psychiatrist.
Okay.
Some of the private psychiatrists in their clients, sir.
Oh, good, good.
It's just that we can't transport them because of the insurance purposes. They got to be with the county if they have transportation. Some clients ride the bus. That's another thing that we try to get them to do is ride the Valley Transit. We give them tickets. Don't cross them.
Anybody getting their licenses? Start to drive?
No, we haven't started that yet. We can't together anything like that yet.
Some people who want to.
Yeah, there's some people who want to, but we just haven't got that yet.
I mean, you know, that's the other thing, California, man. It's hard without wheels to.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's, I mean, if you get a car, then there's expense of maintaining.
I don't know when they're
going to
start that.
You know, you get enough people that want something, that's typically what will, you know, just the grounds that people start going for.
Yeah.
Another thing that, just a little thing is, I've noticed that there's a lot of people using the transit now, especially now that it's hot. You know, the cost of gas, it's not down, but I've seen more people use it.
Well, we have about 14 people who are riding the bus to the center and then home. We only have about, I think it's 6 people that ride the mini van now.
That's what the megabox though, right? I mean, riding the bus?
No. We have kind of tickets that we give them, vouchers.
Okay.
Every day we give them one to go home, one to come in. And I make sure they get them because they come looking for me for that end of the month. If I have a use, so they come looking for me. So they make sure they get them.
Remember when that was a big deal and it was just starting and we weren't sure and maybe a couple people could do that? Now it's coming.
Yeah. When we first started out, I think we had 2 people going on it.
Wow.
Yeah. And we had to teach them how to write.
Yeah, there was all this, you know, ooh, I don't know, maybe not.
We had this one young man when we first started, didn't know what the best up for everything. So I rode with him to Brawley, walked him home, and he picked me up and went back. And he's been riding the bus ever since. He was there the next morning.
So that same thinking, they apply to bigger things like jobs and driver's licenses and cars, you know. Eventually, you start to dream that it's possible, and then, you know, you get a couple of people who try it and kind of work through the process, get some support, like you've given him the support, and then we have a model, and once people see it, then they start to think, oh, I can do this too.
We have, like I say, we only have a couple of young people there, between 25 and 22 years old. The rest of them are from 25 to 73. And they're there every day, working on their whatever they have to do. The 72-year-old taking GED classes.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Wow.
All ages in GED classes.
You mentioned something about neurons clicking together. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The more you use them, the better they take. They may not grow back, but they'll work better.
Yeah. You use some of those rusty ones and then sitting back in the corner.
I've been educating myself on stuff like that, so. You know, I go into the computer and I just find something on a mental condition that I want to know about and I read it.
Well, yeah, I think the good thing about information is there's always going to be more out there. It's not like you're ever going to learn it all.
Yeah, and you know, learning about every mental condition there is a plus for me because we have them all kinds coming in there.
But the clients also learn. They can learn about their mental illness, like we said.
Of course. If I find a topic in the computer that's interesting to me, then I have a group on it. And then I'll give them all them a sheet to read that they can take home. That way they can get educated on their mental conditions, too. Mm-hmm. Not only theirs, but others, too.
What kind of diagnosis or what kind of mental conditions do they have? The people going to the research center?
A lot of them are bipolar. Mm-hmm. Some of them have schizophrenia. Some of them have anxiety. That when they're there, that very seldom flares up any of it. So. Mm-hmm. But they have a sheet that gives the diagnosis and the meds they take and everything that we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you send the girl, they have everything down there. What's their diagnosis, what's their medication, and we usually get a good med sheet with it.
Mm-hmm.
That way we put it in our lap and that way we know. That way, if there's an emergency and they have to have a paramedic call, they can give them a copy of the med sheet so they
know what medication they take.
So, and it happens sometimes. We do have to call emergency to come in and check somebody on. So, very important to have the med sheets and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the resources. We do a wrap down on everybody.
There's a wrap plan?
It tells us about what goals they have. We have them pick out a goal, and we work out a process of how many steps will it take to complete the goal, which comes first, which comes last, what could get in their way from completing it, how could they overcome it, you know. If there's a transportation problem, then how can we overcome that?
What kind of goals do people typically take at the resource center?
I do see. Somebody wants to go to college.
They want to go to college. I want to go to college. I'm going to take some classes. Something like that.
And the resource center will be able to provide that.
Yeah. We have a pay for tuition, books, supplies, whatever they need. And there's going to be two counselor stations out at IBC for these clients to go to.
Mm-hmm.
To where they know they're not going to be alone, somebody will be there to help them.
Mm-hmm. So. It is difficult. Remember, Scott and I went to a training in Long Beach, and there was a scenario. I was the person, the registrar at the college, and one of our supervisors was a mental health rehab tech, and somebody else was the client, and how difficult, I made it really hard for the case manager to navigate through the college because there's so much requirements. And
anybody who's ever had to go to the college thing, you know, you're at the mercy of a good registrar.
Yeah.
You don't want to get one.
Yeah. And I kept on it. But if you have a counselor, I mean, it's great that people have two counselors over there at IBC to assist the clients.
Yeah,
it's very important.
It's new. They just started this year with that. But there's going to be two counselors out there to help the people that want to go to college. All they got to do is come in and let us know.
Mm-hmm.
What we ask of them is maybe show up at the Resource Center 3 times a week and join us.
Mm-hmm.
We have two clients that are going to college right now. And they come in every week to, you know, they let us know that they're there. We give them bus tickets to go back and forth to college. It don't cost them a dime. We furnish the bus vouchers for them to go. And both of them are doing really good. One of them, I don't know if you guys ever have bought one of the books from this one client. He wrote a book of poems.
Really?
Yes. And it's in Spanish. But I bought one anyway. You know, I don't understand Spanish. I bought one to help support him, you know, on his work. I had him autograph it, though.
Uh-huh.
So, one day I'll let you guys see it.
Where can we get more?
His name was Martin Ortega.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know if he's going to be able to. We can find out.
Okay.
Do you have a lot of creative people, or did you just do, I mean, you mentioned the quilt class a little bit earlier.
Yeah, that's Maria Duarte. She's involved in the quilting class, and she has, I think it's 5 women in there right now making quilts. One day, after they get the quilts, they're going to take them to the all-staff meeting.
Nice. Are you going to sell them?
I'm not sure. I think so.
No way to raise money? Yeah. You want to go to those trips?
Maybe creativity is another way people can start to feel special about who they are and get a little more confidence and start to take a step forward.
The ladies are doing really well. They're going there every day. So
But if a guy wanted to join, he could join.
Of course. Okay. There's a couple of guys in there doing it right now, too.
Good. Yeah, that's
there's one of them that made himself some pillows where he bed, and he's in the process of making a push himself.
Nice. Nice.
That's
good.
Yeah, if one more people are interested about the resource center, any questions have any?
Yeah, you said referrals. Okay, referrals.
Call 337-7777.
That's an easy one. Yeah, I know.
Yes, for Albert. Yeah, well, most of the time I'm out on the front floor. I'm not in my office, so they'll have to come get me.
And so 337-7777.
Yes.
7777.
Been a number there for over 10 years.
Now, just to do a recap again, what kind of services, supportive services, does the research center offer?
IVC, IVROP, One Stop, and GED, and IVC. I said IVC already.
Alcohol and drug groups,
recovery groups.
Smoking classes.
We have all kinds of things that are fun to do.
And this is open to anybody with a mental health diagnosis who's been referred
by a doctor,
either by Tony Behavioral Health or by another doctor.
Okay.
And open to anybody from the ages of
16 and over.
16 to infinity. You're never too young, never too old or something.
Yeah.
No. All the way, we have, like I said, we have them all the way to 73.
Do you ever think back when you were in the drop-in center that it could ever lead to this either for you or for the place itself?
No, not really.
It's evolved a lot.
Yeah, it has grown a lot. It's different than the drop-in. The beginning was the beginning. We went in there. We held groups. We ate breakfast together. We'd go buy some eggs and stuff and cook burritos there.
And now you can still do that, but there's other supportive services.
Yes.
You kept the good and added a bunch of other stuff too.
Yeah, it's really involved into a where the you can get back out into the community.
Exactly, and I think that's important for us, that we want them to get back into the community, not just stay at the research center, but stay, go there, get the help, and
you don't have to graduate, so you can keep coming, but you can also go.
Graduate
into a better thing.
Yeah, get your college, get your degree, get a job, learn some skills. Yeah. Even if you don't get a job, then you can learn skills and just being able to use a computer.
Better themselves all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. On behalf of the community, thank you for being a model, for having the patience, and for having the dedication to be a part of that for so many years, and continue to discuss in the future.
Well, like I tell them, there's a light at the end of the tunnel that I don't want to ever reach until I retire.
Again, the phone number for the recovery center, the resource center is 337-7777.
And this is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness. You're the Imperial and the Hikari and San Luis and Sonora and Yuma and Grand Canyon.
Well, actually, now that we're on the internet, you exist.
Oh, yeah. We're on the world. So next week we'll bring it. We'll do like NPR and bring in our different geological valleys. And see if you can guess the valley or something.
Thanks
for listening.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KGBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue, presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.